Amen. Thank you, Brother Glenn. I appreciate that. That's one of my favorite Christmas songs. And God truly is the one who gives us peace in life. Let's take the Word of God this morning, and let's go, if you would please, to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I don't know if there is a more difficult thing for a pastor when it comes to the Christmas season on how to preach, because may I tell you, the Christmas story never changes, you know? And every year I've come and I usually preach 6 to 7 different messages when it comes to the Christmas season. And I believe the Lord has given me some messages for this year. And this morning I'm going to preach on about Christ coming and why did Jesus Christ come? Well, one message I'm going to preach on that He came to give life, and I want to talk about that. And then He came to give a lamb. And then I believe that Christ came to give us liberty and freedom in life. And so may the Lord help us and guide us during this time. You know, it is very difficult at the Christmas season to stay connected in what is the true meaning of Christmas. Now, I know when I was just a kid, it seemed like most churches did a Christmas pageant of some type. And when I was a kid, usually the little kids wore their bathrobes. They were the shepherds, you know. How many knows what I'm talking about there? And I mean, didn't matter what kind of church it was. Every church was able to put on something like that. And, you know, they had little Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus. And sometimes the churches, if they got real, like high tech, they would put like a light inside the manger, so that you could see the baby doll that was supposed to be baby Jesus, all right? And they would put a light in there with an extension cord somewhere. Well, years ago, I heard about a Christmas pageant that was going on. And boy, the kids, they were ready to go and doing all of that. And sure enough, it was one of those high-tech churches, you know. And they had the baby doll in there and they had a light up there connected to an extension cord. And one of the little kids in the midst of the play tripped over the extension cord and unplugged the light. Well, one of the little kids in what he thought was a whisper, but the whole church could hear him, he said, "Hey, you just unplugged Jesus, you know?" Well, you know, the truth of the matter is, the world really does unplug from what is the true meaning of Christmas. Christmas is all about Jesus coming to this earth. Really, that's the whole story, is that Christ came to this world. And I want you to look in these verses here, 1 Timothy chapter 1, and let's begin, if you would please, in verse number 15. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 15. The Bible says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Now I want you to look back in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. Timothy here says, this is a faithful saying. He says, and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, and the emphasis here is Paul is saying, Timothy, I want you to know that the whole cause of everything and what should be worthy of all acceptance is this thought that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Brethren, it is an amazing story that God, the King of all the earth, would give His only begotten Son, and Jesus Christ would humble Himself. That literally, the God of all creation would humble Himself and become a little baby. Think of that. Do you know a little baby is in great need, is it not? Babies, you have to feed them. You have to take care of them. You have to minister to them. And Jesus humbled himself and he became in need to his own creation. Think of that. But the Bible says that he came to this world. And that's what Christmas is all about. We celebrate that Jesus Christ came. Now I want to give you a simple message this morning. Jesus Christ came to give life. Now that's so important to understand. You say, Pastor, I know all about that. But do you understand the emphasis that Jesus came to give us life? Number one, Christ came to give eternal life. Would you take your Bibles and go to John chapter number 10? And I want to show you some very simple things this morning that I pray God would help us. Do you know that life really begins the moment we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ? That's when life begins. Now, we know that God is the giver of physical life, but he's also the giver of spiritual life. And Jesus Christ came to give us eternal life. That means everlasting life in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you have eternal life? Do you possess eternal life? Well, if you're a child of God this morning, you have eternal life. By the way, Jesus did not come into the world at Christmas time to just make us nice people. Now, I believe Christians ought to be the friendliest and the kindest people around, but Jesus didn't come to make us nice people. He came to make us new creatures in Christ. In fact, Jesus was born of a virgin so that you and I would be born again. He became the Son of Man so that you and I would become the sons and the daughters of God. Think of what Jesus did. In fact, our Lord came to this earth. He left heaven in order for us to go to heaven one day. I really do not understand. I don't know that I can comprehend the love and the desire of our God for you and me. He came to give us life, to give us eternal life. John chapter 10, notice what the Bible says. Let's begin in verse number 7, and we're going to jump around here, and I want to show you some things here. The Lord Jesus came to give us eternal life. John 10, verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life. Notice that. He said, I am come that they might have life. And then it goes on, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Think of that. Jesus Christ came to give his life. Let's read on in verse 17. The Bible says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. You know that God laid down himself in a cradle that he might lay himself down in a borrowed tomb? He laid down his life. Look what the Bible says in verse 27 of John 10. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them, look at these next two words, eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Brethren, I want you to know something today. Jesus Christ came. He was born in that lowly manger to give us life. But what kind of life? Eternal life. In fact, that means, eternal life means that we will spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Folks, today, every one of us is going to die. In fact, do you know that death knows nothing of Christmas. I mean, there have been people that have died this week. There are people that will die before Christmas time. There will be people that die on Christmas Day. Death comes to all of us. We will leave this world, but we will enter into eternity somewhere. The Bible clearly teaches that you will either spend eternity in a place called heaven, or you will spend eternity in a place called hell. What you do with Jesus Christ determines where you will spend eternity. You know, this past Friday, and I know I talk about the Bible Club a lot, but I'm going to tell you something. If you were to ever be with me, you'd talk about it a lot too, you know? You go in there, and these young people, and it's just amazing to see what the Lord does. They come and they hear the truth of God's Word. And when I talk to them, they are as quiet as you are in here right now. They listen so well. And you know something? This past Friday, three teenagers, high school students, heard the gospel. They heard that Jesus Christ came. I talked about God's Christmas gift to them. And would they receive God's Christmas gift? And three of them opened up God's Christmas gift to them. You know what they have now? They have eternal life. They possess eternal life. They will never be outside of the family of God. Folks, I'm thankful to be in my family, my mom and dad. I was born into that family. I didn't get to choose that family, you know, and I'm thankful for the family that God gave me. But you choose whether or not you will spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ or you will spend eternity separated from God. He came to give us eternal life. Now, by the way, the virgin birth is not just some cute thing that we talk about at Christmas time. The virgin birth is the foundation stone of our redemption. Without the virgin birth, there is no child of God. Do you understand today the virgin birth is so very important? It's not just some incident that happened. It is fundamental to our faith in Jesus Christ that God became a man. He took upon himself the robe of human flesh. We must remember something today, that we are sinners. Do you know that you and I were born into this world with the sin nature? Look, if you don't believe that, just visit one of our nurseries, all right? All right? You know what you'll find? Sin nature abounding, all right? And it's very open, you know, all of that. You know, our children, my wife and I, God blessed us with three children. We're thankful for that. And our children are no longer little kids anymore. And we talked about that the other day. It used to be Christmas time. We could go just buy just a couple of little things, and they were so happy. But, you know, that changes over time, you know. And just can't get them, you know, a Tickle Me Elmo or something. You know, it's got to be something different now, you know. But, you know, the truth is, we think about families, and we think about, you know, how cute and wonderful the Christmas plays are and all of that. But the virgin birth is something so foundational to what we believe and what God's Word teaches. In fact, do you know that the Bible stands on the virgin birth? If you take away the virgin birth and that Jesus Christ came and He did not come and born of a virgin Mary, then the Bible is not true today. Because the Bible clearly teaches that Jesus came to this earth. He came to die for us. Why? Because we are sinners. We are born with this sin nature. Our children, and getting back to the story, our children, we tried to teach them and train them right and to raise them and speak the right things to them. But our children had a sin nature. They figured out that real fast. They knew how to sin on their own. Why? Because it's a part of their sin nature. Well, we must remember something, that God cannot just merely overlook sin. Oh, listen, if He did so, He would cease to be a holy God. God is the judge of all the earth, is what the Bible says. And God must judge sin. In fact, God's holiness demands that all sin be punished. There is a penalty for sin. In fact, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. And that death in Romans 6:23 is speaking of eternal death separated from God forever. You see, there must be a full payment for sin. And brethren, the full payment of sin was the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ on the cross for our sin debt. Oh, listen, I want you to know something. He had to be a man in order to die for our sins, but He had to be sinless in order to pay the sin debt of the world. Do you understand that God had to become a man? He had to be robed in human flesh and to be born of a Virgin Mary. And He had to go to the cross, because if He did not, you and I would be men and women lost in our sin debt, never able to pay the debt of our sin. Jesus came to give us life. Well, what kind of life? Eternal life. Number two, Jesus came not only to give us eternal life, but to give us an enriched life. Now, you're back in John chapter 10, and I want to show you something here. Go back to verse number 10. John 10 and verse number 10. The Bible says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Notice what Jesus said. "I am come that they might have life." Now, that's eternal life, but look what He goes on to say. "And that they might have it more abundantly." You know what abundant life is? It's the life that God enriches us with. Now, you can be a child of God and have eternal life and not have abundant life. Oh, listen, I think all of us would admit today that there have been times in your Christian life when you did not possess abundant life. Oh, you had eternal life, because no man shall be able to pluck you out of your Father's hand. But there are times in which, in many ways, we're miserable Christians. In fact, D.L. Moody said years ago, he said, "Some men have just enough religion to make them miserable." You know what he was meaning by that? Some people are just saved. They have eternal life, but they do not have abundant life. And they are miserable in their life. A.W. Tozer, as I preached on Wednesday night, he says, "Unless we worship, we go about miserable." Do you know that abundant life is what God wants you to have? In fact, years ago, I heard a study that went on, and there was some college students in a university that were asked to define life, what life really was. And they wanted to put it in a school paper, and there was they wanted to give a special award to have the best definition on what life is. What is life? Well, one college student, and they were not joking, they were being serious, one said, "Life is a jail sentence that we get for the crime of being born." Think of that. Hopelessness, is it not? One said, "Life is a disease for which the only cure is death." Think of a college student with their whole life ahead of them saying that life is just a disease and the only cure for it is to die. And the last one said, "Life is a joke that isn't even funny." Do you know that is how people can display life that do not know Jesus Christ, who has eternal life? But I have met Christians before that they could be a part of that same group right there. Life to them is miserable. Life is nothing but a drudgery and a dread. Listen, Jesus said, "I am come. I came to this world. I was born in a lowly manger that you might have eternal life." But then He didn't stop there. He said, "I want you to have abundant life." Now, brethren, we know that Jesus did not come to relieve us from all of our troubles. We're going to have trouble. In fact, the Bible says that man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. In fact, the Apostle Paul, did he not have many troubles? Yes, he was beaten, he was stoned, and he suffered shipwreck, and he suffered all that he dealt with. He knew what it was to live in poverty. So did Paul not possess abundant life? Oh, he did. If you read his letters to the church, you will find a man that had the joy of Jesus in his life, because abundant living has nothing to do with our circumstances. It has everything to do with what we are in Jesus Christ. Jesus came to enrich your life. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, folks, today, there is a vast difference between existence and abundance. There's a great difference when just existing. By the way, you and I, all of us, possess existence because of our first birth, our physical birth. But we have abundant life that's possible with our second birth. That's our spiritual birth. Do you know that I'm guilty of this in many ways? You know, as a pastor, you know, honestly, I know a lot of heartache. You know, in fact, the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes that there is sorrow with knowledge. There is sorrow with knowledge. I know people in our church right now that have cancer. I know people right now that have problems in their families. People that have difficulties, things that they deal with. This morning I was praying for so many of our people that have this going on and that going on. And look, I have friends in other states that have issues and problems. And you know something? If I'm not careful, I can live under the weight of the burdens of other people. But the Lord wants us. He came to give you eternal life. That's not where the Christmas story ends. He wants you to have abundant life. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and notice what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 8 verse number 9. The Bible says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich," think of that, "though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Now the Bible is not speaking of monetary richness there. He is not speaking of wealth in money as far as that goes. For instance, I heard a man say years ago, a preacher talked about, he said, "Well, God hasn't made me wealthy," or God, he said, "I heard someone say that God hasn't made him wealthy because he can't handle it." And he said, he told the Lord, "God, I can handle it, bring it on," you know. And we think sometimes that really if God is going to be abundant to us, he's going to give us lots of things and lots of money and lots of this. And brethren, if God blesses you with those, thank him and praise him for it, because it all comes from his hand. But abundant living has nothing to do with what we hold in our hands. Abundant living cannot be bought. Abundant living is why Jesus came. He became poor that you might become rich. Now think of this. Jesus came to this world. Did you know that Jesus didn't have his own crib? Jesus did not come and have the finest of the best. He didn't have that. I mean, listen, he came to a borrowed barn. Think of that. The barn didn't even belong to Jesus or his family. It was borrowed. He came, and when Jesus left this world, they used a borrowed tomb. He became poor. Listen, he became poor so that you and I might become rich. He enriches our lives. Folks, today, Jesus did not come necessarily to add years to your life, but he did come to add life to your years. You see, today, we often think, well, the Lord hasn't done this for me, and he hasn't done that for me. But brethren, you have everything you need in Jesus Christ. Everything you need. And brethren, if we have Jesus Christ, there is the possibility of us living an abundant life. You say, "Well, Pastor, what do you mean about the possibility?" I mean this. Do you know that so often we have everything we need, but we don't take advantage of our life in Jesus Christ? We don't take advantage of it. I mean, in fact, you know, you've heard stories, and I've heard stories before about people having garage sales before. I don't know how many of you like to go to garage sales, but you know, you go to garage sales, and why are people having garage sales? They don't do it because it's fun, I can tell you that, all right? If you've ever done a garage sale, there's nothing fun about it, you know? They do it because to earn a little money. But you know what? I've heard stories of people selling things at garage sales. They sell it for a few dollars, and someone gets home and realizes it's of great value. They take it and they sell it for millions of dollars. You know what? I feel so sorry for that person that had the garage sale. They probably were happy. They got $100 that day, you know? And then they had something on the table that they thought was not of great value, but it could have taken care of them for the rest of their lives. You know what? I think that's what some of us are going to realize when we get to heaven one day. We're going to say, "God, why didn't I pray like I should have prayed? All of access of heaven was open to me, but I did not pray. Why did I not have joy? Because I could have had joy. You know something? It's available for you. You can have. In fact, the Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, the nine fruit of the Spirit. That's available for you. You can have that. Listen, it doesn't mean that all your sorrows will go away with. No, but it means that we can have abundant living. The Scriptures teach us that Jesus became poor, that you and I might become rich. He left the splendors of heaven and was born into deep poverty. Look here this morning, if you are in deep poverty, Jesus knows what it is to live like that. If you have great wealth, Jesus knows what it is to live like that. Oh, listen, brethren, when he came into Jerusalem, think about it, years later after Jesus was a man and a full-grown man, when he came into Jerusalem and what we would call his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, he came riding on a borrowed donkey. Think of that. He was born into a borrowed barn. He came riding into the city and on a borrowed donkey. And he was crucified and he was buried in a borrowed tomb. He became poor that he might enrich your life. And brethren, what is more valuable than love, the love of God? The love that you can share with others. What is more valuable than peace? What is more valuable than joy? What is more valuable than a friendship? Oh, listen, Jesus came to enrich us. You see, we are sons and daughters of God this morning. We are kings and priests unto God. We possess all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And I want you to do something in your mind right now. You say, well, Pastor, how is it that I'm enriched? Well, I want you to do something. Now, I don't want you to shout it out, or I want you to think about this. To understand how rich Christmas has made you, if you know Jesus Christ, I want you to add up everything that you have in Christ that money cannot buy and that death cannot take away. You ought to think about that in the next few days. What I want to add up in my heart and mind, what I have because of Christmas, that money could never buy me and death could never take away. You know something? I'll tell you, eternal life, listen, money could never buy it and death cannot take that away. You know something? My fellowship and my relationship with God, money cannot buy that and death cannot take that away. Oh, listen, brethren, we ought to live our lives in such a way, a life of obedience, a life of surrender, so that we can know the abundant living that Jesus came to give us life, but to give us life more abundantly. Number three, the last thing this morning, Christ came to give life. He came to give eternal life. He came to give you an enriched life. But number three, he came to give you an empowered life. Take your Bibles, if you would please, and go to Ephesians chapter number 1. You should be there in the book of 2 Corinthians. Just turn over to the right a few pages. But Ephesians chapter 1, I want you to think about this just for a moment. If you'd have been there that day in that lowly manger, you'd have come upon the scene of a very lowly people. Mary and Joseph were not people of great power, prestige, honor, wealth. Oh, no. And then you look in that little cradle and there you see Jesus, a baby. We would look at a little baby and we would say, well, that baby's powerless. We'd say that baby cannot do anything. In fact, we got to take care of the baby. We got to feed it. We got to change it. We got to meet all of its needs. And because the baby is powerless, we must give power to the baby. We must take care of it. I want you to think just for a moment. God could have sent His Son in a great blaze of glory to this earth, but that's not how God sent His Son. He came into this world to give you life, but to give you life more abundantly. But think of Jesus. We think of Him in that grave as powerless, but I want you to know something. Think of the power that was wrapped in that tiny, seemingly helpless baby laying in a manger. Because, listen, that first Christmas, Jesus came to this world to release a power that would shake this universe. But you know something? God wants us to know that what we have in Jesus Christ is great power. Ephesians chapter 1, you should be there, and let's look in verse number 15. The Bible says this. It says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." You know something? Paul here, once again, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and Paul wants to open their eyes to see the power that is inherently theirs because of Jesus' birth, His death, and His resurrection. Brethren, today, I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says that God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but, and the Bible goes on to say, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Do you know something? Jesus Christ came to this earth not to just give us eternal life. Oh, that is a miracle of all miracles. But He wants you to have abundant living. But He wants you to experience power. He wants you to have faith and victory in this world. In fact, the Bible clearly teaches us that we do not have to live as slaves to our sin. And we don't have to live under the bondage of our past. We can have power. That's why Jesus Christ came. Oh, brethren, today, I want you to know something. When God made Adam, Adam had great power. Did you know that? I mean, he had great, incredible power and authority. Now, when I speak of power, I'm not speaking of some power physically speaking. We're talking about power of heart and mind, power over the forces of this world and the devil. Adam was to have dominion over all the earth. Listen, he had power with God. He walked with God, but guess what? Adam gave up his power. He gave up his authority over to Satan. He yielded to the devil. And disobedient Adam yielded his authority to the devil, and he became Satan's slave. But oh, praise be to God. We know that God foretold even to Adam that God would send a son one day. Do you know that even in the midst of Adam's rebellion, God foretold that He would send His only begotten Son? Why? To give us power, to give us abundant living, to give us eternal life. Brethren, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, and I want to read a verse to you, and you don't have to turn there, but Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 14, the Word of God says this, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same." The Bible goes on to say that through death, He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Do you know that Jesus Christ came to this world like a helpless, powerless little baby? But oh, listen, there was all the power of heaven and earth wrapped in His tiny little body. And Jesus Christ came so that you and I could have power over death, that you and I could have power in life. Listen, He came to give us life. In fact, do you know that the world today really has little room for Jesus? They really don't. In fact, you think of that night that Jesus Christ came. I mean, listen, let's think of Mary and Joseph. Here they are. The Bible says she is great with child. She came and they could not find any place to stay. And they, Bible says that they came into the inn, the place where people would stop overnight. And listen, do you think that innkeeper could have found some place for them much nicer than the barn? I think so. But I think the innkeeper did not know what was standing in front of him. I don't think he understood the vastness of that. And there was Mary and Joseph. There is God coming to this world. But as Jesus came, there was no room for Him. And today, there is really no room for Jesus Christ in this world. The world wants nothing to do with Jesus. But brethren, today, I want you to see a Savior. The Bible says that He came for us. He came for you and me. He came to give us life. H.G. Wells, of years gone by, once listed the 10 greatest men of history up to that period of time. Do you know that on his list at number one, he put Jesus Christ? But I want you to know something. Jesus Christ doesn't belong on a list because there is no man like Jesus. He is the one and only. He is not just the man. He is the God-man. He is, yes, He is God who took upon Himself the robe of human flesh to die on the cross to pay for the sins of all mankind. Brethren, today Jesus came to give you life, eternal life. But not just that. And look, today if you're here without Jesus Christ, then you need to open up God's Christmas gift to you this morning. He's come to give you life. He paid for it. And today if you will accept it by faith, He'll give you eternal life. But today, maybe you are a Christian. Well, I want you to know something. Christmas is still for you. Christmas is still for the child of God. Sometimes I think as Christians, we think, well, I'm saved and you know, the Christmas story. Listen, Christmas is about you because Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Do you possess abundant living today? I'm sad to say that there's times in my life when I have to confess to God that I don't have the joy of the Lord. And listen, that's not God's fault. It is my fault. It is that I'm not abiding in Him. I'm not staying close to Him. I'm not seeking His face. I'm not drawing near to my Savior. Because Jesus said, I've come to give you a enriched life. Do you have that today? And today, He's come to give you a life that's empowered. You know, it's sad that there are Christians that still live in bondage to their past. They still live in bondage to that. They still live in fear of what they've done in the past. Listen, if you're a child of God here today, He has buried your sin in the depths of the deepest sea. You can't find it. And listen, God on purpose doesn't find it. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. But some of you are still living in bondage to your past. But what? Let me ask you this. Are you living in bondage to some sin habit that you think you can never conquer? Oh, you cannot conquer in your strength. But through Jesus Christ, you can have victory over any sin habit in your life. It doesn't mean that we are sinless. It doesn't mean that we are perfect this side of heaven. But it means that we can live a life that's empowered. Listen, do you want power to tell others of Jesus Christ? Then that power is in Jesus. And He indwells you today. He has come to give you life. Now today, I don't know where you may be in your life. If you're here without Jesus Christ, let Jesus give you eternal life. But if you're here, child of God, and you don't have an enriched life, then let the Lord enrich you. Accept the gift. Did you know something? That I think sometimes, as Christians, we've said, yes, Lord. Yes, I accept your gift. But then I think when the Lord offers to us abundant living, we think we can't accept that gift. But brethren, it is in Christ, and Christ indwells you today, and God has come to give us life. Brethren, today, let's live the life that God has designed for us. If you're here without Jesus, accept eternal life. If you're here as a child of God, accept that enriched life and the empowered life that God wants to give you. Let's bow our heads in prayer.